Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
After Pearl Harbor, some said the United States has been reduced to a third-rate power. Well, we rallied.
We?
We flew over the hump and took island after
we
island.
We flew over the hump?
Beaches and liberated nations.
Oh, you and
we emerged from that war as the strongest power on the face of the earth.
You and Saul Alinsky flew over the hump? I never heard anything like this. Play Unforgettable, would you please?
Unforgettable.
Have you noticed that Obama's starting to look differently?
That's what you are.
Have you noticed he's starting to look like a Parisian nightclub performer? The more he becomes exposed, the more people become hip to who this guy really is and isn't, the more shallow the man actually appears. He looks like, if you look at film noir movies from the 50s, and you see kind of torch singers, bar singers from the 50s in a Parisian bar. I'm reminded of that. Speaking of which, yesterday after the radio show in San Francisco, my favorite city, as you well know, I'm banned in the United Kingdom, actually heard in the city that I created in radio. I mean, I was the biggest thing in the history of radio. I'm heard from Sacramento, if you can believe this. So, I mean, I still have a huge fan base. Most of the people who listen to me still catch me there on this 650 or whatever. So I go out of the studio and I go down to the waterfront, which I happen to love. I go to the ferry terminal, which is sort of like a Pike Street market. Bakeries, with the best bread in the world. All liberals, I said to you, the best bread in the world. If it was a conservative area, you'd get white bread that's 2 days old and stale. Creameries, cowgirl. Creamery, I don't eat cheese, but I had Teddy with me. He was during the show. And he loves to smell the cheese, and we're walking around. And I walk up about a half a mile to my friend's place at the waterfront restaurant, Al Falchi. And I sat with him and had a few drinks. And you know what he told me? You'll never believe this. Teddy had, by the way, one of the best appetizers of all time. He had a little hamburger slider. He loved it. He says to me, Michael, he says, somebody, have you heard about this? It was launched here, a new app. A new app for cell phones that scans bar goers' faces. I said, what? He said, yeah, it's a new smartphone app called SceneTap. And what it is, it employs facial detection software through cameras that are placed strategically in bars and nightclubs to tell users the age and sexual makeup of an establishment they're thinking of visiting. Now, the problem is that the patrons being scanned by cameras don't know that they're being monitored. Some call this creepy. Some call it an invasion of privacy. But the way this works is this group have installed cameras in bars in San Francisco, Austin, Texas, Athens, Georgia, Bloomington, Indiana, Chicago, Gainesville, Florida, and Madison, Wisconsin. Mainly kind of very liberal cities where people have no sense of self-respect and no sense of privacy. And the cameras use facial detection software, which, unlike facial recognition software, only picks up on basic data about people and can't specifically identify faces. And what's the purpose? Well, this info is used to come up with a rundown of ages and sexes so the app can give users real-time updates on which night spots are full of women or men and how old or young the crowd is. What question shall I ask you? I have no idea. If you're reduced to the point that you have to look on a cell phone to see where you should go stalking women, you know, you don't even deserve, well, whatever. Why finish the sentence? I mean, the bigger question really is, what do you think of Obama's class warfare campaign? Do you think it will get him reelected? He is pitting one class against the other. It is straight out of the Marxist playbook. I pointed it out in Trickle Up Poverty, Trickle Down Tyranny. The man has gone. You got to hand one thing to Axelrod and Obama. You've got to give them one thing. What you see is what you get. I told you he's a Marxist. He's a Marxist. I told you he would engage in class warfare as his final trump card because he has nothing else to play. He's engaging in class warfare. But the problem for Obama is that the class warfare game has divided the Democrat Party. They have not all fallen in line with him. So the fact of the matter is, I don't know that it will get him reelected. I actually think it could actually backfire on Obama. I believe that his class warfare campaign and his race warfare campaign will not get him reelected. And it could be that Romney, you know, the middle of the row, checked pants Republican, nice country club Republican, may actually win simply because Obama is so far to the left of his own leftist party called the Democrats that half the Democrat Party will defect from him and by default vote for this Mr. Nice Guy. I don't know. Things are changing. In other words, they're muddling their own election chances. Romney's doing everything he can to not get elected. But Obama is muddling the campaign so badly with his hatred and his deceit that it could wind up dividing the vote. What am I supposed to ask you to call the number now? I call the number now. 1-800-449-8255. I listened to Obama speak at the Air Force Academy. I was appalled, frankly. I was sickened by it when he said, "We flew over the hump." Did you hear that speech? Listen to it again.
After Pearl Harbor, some said the United States has been reduced to a third-rate power. Well,
all right.
We rallied. Well, we flew over the hump and took island after island.
Who flew over the hump? You and Bonnie Frank? You and David Axelrod? Who flew over the hump? How about saying it was your predecessors in the Air Force who flew over the hump instead of we flew over the hump? Is this guy crazy or what? Is Obama actually a madman? I mean, he's obviously not a genius, but he's reasonably intelligent and he's calculating and the man knows what he's doing. How could he say we flew over the hump? Collectively, we. Here's a man who's worked his whole life to hate the military. Hates the military. Hates police. Hates the church. Let's go down the list of everything that the Marxists hate. And he goes to the Air Force Academy, which is understandable. He's the president. He's the commander in chief. And he lectures these poor guys. We flew over the hump. This is shocking. Listen to clip 4 now from the speech.
Because of this progress, around the world, there is a new feeling about America.
What?
I see it everywhere I go. From London and Prague to Tokyo and Seoul.
What a liar.
To Rio and Jakarta.
Wait, stop it. There is no new feeling about America. There's an embarrassment about you. In fact, even the socialist president of France did not listen to your fraudulent speech. You know, I can only take so much of the big lie. This is starting to be worse than Leni Riefenstahl. This is worse than the propaganda machines of totalitarian dictatorships. These are bald-faced lies. There is no progress in America. There is no progress in the American image around the world. They're laughing at us. They're spitting at us. Ask Donald Trump if the world is laughing at us or respecting us. The man is a bald-faced liar, and there's a limit to how much the people can take of this garbage. Listen to clip 3 now.
Around the world, the United States is leading once more.
Leading what?
From Europe to Asia. Our alliances are stronger than ever.
What, with the Islamists in Egypt?
The Americas are deeper. We're setting the agenda in the region that will shape our long-term security and prosperity like no other, the Asia-Pacific. We're leading on global security, reducing our nuclear arsenal with Russia.
What, by feeling up women at airports?
A strong nuclear deterrent. Mobilizing dozens of nations to secure nuclear material. So,
come on, it's enough already. You know, you expect the president to give a speech that's generic, but this is unbelievably filled with not only half-truths, they're bald-faced lies. Is it any wonder I talked about the app and feeding my dog a meat slider in a bar yesterday? It's nice sitting outside. It's a beautiful city. Gorgeous city. When you get away from the social rot of San Francisco created by Nancy Pelosi, When you get away from the social rot, the anti-Catholic rot of Nancy Pelosi, I'm waiting for a cardinal to stand up to her one of these days. I'm waiting for one of the archbishops or cardinals to actually stand up to what this woman stands for and what she's done, Pelosi's values. And on a state level, you have no idea what this moonbeam has done, what Governor Brown. Here is a man, Moonbeam, who pretended to be a moderate middle-of-the-roader, hoodwinked me through a friend of mine. I gave him money years ago. It's true. And the man now becomes governor, and he goes back. He reverts to the moonbeam that everyone knew he was. Tax and spend. Attack those who produce. Attack the productive class. Tax and spend. So his new tactic is, unless you tax those who earn money in California even more, we're going to close the schools for another month a year. This is so sickening, Jerry. This is another scare tactic, and I don't think the people are going to fall for it, because we all read your budget, and we know that 50% of the money that you will steal from the most productive taxpayers in the state of California, 50% of it will go for the unfunded pensions that the unions have imposed upon the state of California. It will go for housing and for educating and for medicating non-citizens. And, of course, for stuffing the pensions of politicians like yourself. A lot of people don't realize that the federal government mandates that states provide certain services to non-citizens, whether they like it or not. Now, if Governor Brown really wanted to tighten the budget, he could certainly do so. He could do it by cracking down on hospital visits from non-citizens. He could cut back on education. English as a second language could be slashed, eliminated. My father came here. He didn't speak English. Nobody held him out. Oh, poor boy from Russia. Can we speak to you in your native language? Nobody would have expected that. Cut out English as a second language. So let's start with that. How many billions will that save, Jerry? This fear-mongering of Jerry Brown is identical to the hate-mongering of Barack Obama. It is no different than what we have come to expect from this party of illicit anti-American Democrats. The whole world is laughing at Barack Obama. They're not saluting Barack Obama. Now, either he lives in a bubble and he actually thinks that they're saluting him, but they are not. They're ignoring him. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So no one cares about the app that takes your picture in the in a bar. No one cares about anything. Bill Clinton's glamorous fundraiser called Worst Party Ever by Angry Guests, an exclusive event in England hosted by Bill Clinton, attended by a host of celebrity friends, has been criticized after guests who paid up to £1,000 each for tickets for his foundation were left standing outside for hours. Attendees complained that Clinton's event in an underground venue stank with perspiration dripping off the walls, and the rooms were too crowded to even see the former president. I don't know if they missed anything, but one who called it the worst party ever described how angry people were waiting in the queue outside while high-profile guests were admitted, and another condemned the event as unpleasant. Well, what do you expect? I mean, if you're a nobody, where do you expect to be ushered in because you're a nobody, because you paid £1,000? That doesn't get you to touch Bill Clinton. What's £1,000 to him? He went to synagogues and he got $300,000. The people threw themselves on the floor, screaming, oy vey. Hosted by Bill Clinton night, the night was attended by actress Gwyneth Paltrow, the most un-American in the history of Harvey Weinstein's failed imagination. They all flock together. They hate the country. They believe in global warming. They fly around in Gulf Streams if they have the money. I don't blame them. Gulfstream's a beautiful jet. But if you have a Gulfstream, you don't then go give a speech about global warming. You fly with banana peels. I can see already it's a dud. Did you hear Sarah Palin endorsed Orrin Hatch? What did I tell you about Sarah Palin? I told you she was a faker. I told you, the mush woman. Mush. I told you the woman was a faker. Now, I don't mind that she's out for herself and for money. That's understandable. It's the American way. In fact, you'll never get hurt in this world if someone says something to you, the first thing you think is, what's in it for her? If you think of that, then you'll never be disappointed. But for Sarah Palin to, how did people ever think she was anything but what she was? Here she endorses this pallbearer, this rhino. Listen to clip 18.
You know, friends and colleagues, we're going to differ personally on different endorsements. Take, for instance, my endorsement of Senator Orrin Hatch in Utah. I want him to win.
Sarah, he was the one who made sure that we got Ruth Bader Ginsburg at the Supreme Court, the former chief of the legal division of the ACLU. Why are you endorsing the ACLU, Sarah? Listen to clip 19.
He's part of that 1% you hear about, not the 1% that's mocked and criticized in the press lately, but the 1% of national politicians whom I believe should be reelected, sent to Congress because of his commitment to see a balanced budget in the United States of America.
Do you believe a word Sarah Palin says? If the woman sold dog food for Alaskan Huskies, I would believe her. If the woman sold snowshoes, I would believe her. And now if she sold geography books, I would not listen to her. If she was selling anything to do with geography or to do with Russia, I would not buy the book. But if she said, by golly, this is the best pair of snowshoes ever made in Fairbanks, I would consider buying it. So what are you going to do? I mean, there's nothing on this. It's not a crime. She didn't commit a crime. She's not a bad person. She's just, they must have paid her a lot of money to endorse Orrin Hatch. What do you think? You want me to get angry now to shock you? I'm not going to get angry. I can't get angry anymore. Let's see. Greek, we're still waiting for the Greeks to exit. How long is this going to go on? You know that they're not going to exit. It's the same as Israel's about to attack Iran. 2 years, 3 years now. Any day Iran's going to get the name of Israel, they're going to knock them. Any day they're going to put down them. They're going to put down their phone apps in Israel. They're going to get, and they're going to fly, and David's going to knock out Goliath. Any day Israel's going to knock out Iran. This is going to 3 years. I'm asleep. The man in the seat is asleep. Now we got this one. Greece about to exit the Eurozone. Greece about to go back to the dinar. Greece about to dump the, Europe's about, no one even knows what it's all about. Europe's going to dump Greece, or Greece is going to dump Europe. No one even knows. What are they going to export after this? Dolmas? What do they make there? I don't even know what they make in Greece.
Savage.
After Pearl Harbor, some said the United States has been reduced to a third-rate power. Well, we rallied. We flew over the hump and took island after island.
We took island to island. Him and Barney Frank and David Axelrod took the islands. They fixed bayonets and they charged. I've never heard anything like that. Not our greatest generation took the islands. Men like you took the islands, but we, him and Axelrod and Rahm Emanuel, took the islands. We flew over the hump. It's better than one flew over the cuckoo's nest. Maybe that should be the name of his next autobiography, We Flew Over the Hump. That might be an interesting title. Is there something wrong out there? I think everyone's gone already for the Memorial Day weekend. What day is today of the week? Wednesday? Do people leave this early on a vacation again? Everyone's on a... Where are they going? Where does everyone go so early? Nobody works anymore. All of these union jobs, they're great, these government jobs. I know when the postal truck's coming, a block away I could smell the fumes. If the wind's blowing at me, I can tell when the mail is coming because the pollution hits the house first before the mail. How is it that the U.S. Postal Service is probably the single greatest gross polluter in the United States of America? They put out more pollution in those old trucks than coal plants in Pittsburgh did. Oh, God, there's nothing in the news. Should I go to my website? Campaign unleashes pet products. I meow for Michelle. You know, I think people are brain dead from beating up. Oh, Miami Beach. Did you hear what's coming up? It's Urban Weekend. That's a euphemism. I call it a euthemism. An Urban Weekend is a euthemism for a certain thing that happens to Miami around this weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Does anyone know what an Urban Weekend really means and what happens to Miami? Does anyone actually know what this means? Not a lot of talk about it. But anyone in Miami leaves the city if they can. on this weekend because of the euphemism. The euphemism called Urban Weekend. In other words, they come to town from all over the state and country, and they trash the weekend. Those who attend the youth rally in Miami this weekend. They don't even know what Memorial Day is supposed to do, which is to celebrate those who sacrificed for our freedoms. They think it means putting on bling, using illicit drugs, and having sex in the gutter. They think that that's what the soldiers died for. Oh, what a country. I don't know if I can take it anymore. And Mayor Bloomberg, is this man a nitwit or what? Does this prove that billionaires can be stupid? The man says the federal government should force cities to take immigrants, even if they don't want to, because it's the only way to save America. Now, I'm not against immigration. If the immigrants come here and provide a service or create a business that Americans can't or won't do, maybe. But if you actually look at the data, as I have, Mayor Bloomberg, you'll find that the use of welfare and social services is about three times higher amongst immigrants than it is above the so-called native population that you seem to have distemper for. Why does Bloomberg have a distemper for the native population? I don't understand. Why is he so interested in more immigrants? You know, in other words, I'm the son of an immigrant, but there was no welfare then. Dad, I feel like a dud out there. Maybe it's me. I don't know. It could be me. Let me take the call and see what's going on. Robert in New York on WOR. Is it me or is it the audience? Where is everybody today?
Yes, Dr. Savage.
Yes.
Dr. Savage.
Pleasure yes, yes, Michael Savage, yes, that's right. And what's on your mind, Robert, from New York?
Yes, sir. So I try and listen to you most days on the way home. I agree with many of the things that you say, but I have to tell you, I heard what you said about the upcoming election, and I'm very, very concerned. You know, people just don't pay attention or they don't care. During the last election, we all knew, anyone who was paying attention knew that Obama was a Marxist. We all knew he was anti-American.
Since he sat in Reverend Wright's church, which preached racism for 20 years.
Absolutely no question. You know, the thing that really kills me is that the United States spent 60 years fighting communism and Marxism. I never thought I'd live to see the day where we would actually elect a Marxist.
Why is it when I called him a Marxist and trickle up poverty and then spelled it out in more detail and trickle down tyranny, I am laughed at, chastised, castigated by the so-called elites who seem to be in denial about Obama's, I mean, his clear lineage is Marxist.
There's absolutely no question.
No question about it. Everything the man has eaten, drunk, he has eaten, drunk, and slept with Marxism.
Of the control of the media.
I'll tell you the answer why. The answer is because they all want income redistribution. You got to understand, most people in the media don't make a lot of money. They have very poor jobs in the media.
I understand. Listen, I live in one of the worst states that there is in New York. My vote means nothing because anyone who wants to vote conservative, we're outnumbered 2-1, 3-1, whatever it is.
Well, that's because Bloomberg flooded them into New York City. I mean, this is how liberals get reelected.
You have it absolutely correct.
So what are we supposed to do? What are we, the people, meaning the productive people, meaning the tax-paying people, meaning the law-abiding people, what are we supposed to do when our Indian chiefs are corrupt and are selling us down the river for some wampum and for a few bottles of booze? You know, I've made this comparison before. The Native Americans themselves didn't really lose the wars. You know who sold them down the river? They're corrupt Indian chiefs. They were bought out for booze, they were bought out for wampum, and they were bought out for some guns. And it's no different with the leadership in America today. It's the leaders in America who are killing us. It's not the people. If we had leadership, we wouldn't have these problems.
The glimmer of hope that I see out there is I think maybe enough people are starting to get aggravated. You see the Tea Party movement. You see people getting more agitated. Hopefully it'll continue to grow. If people just pay attention and use their brains, they'll vote with their own interest instead of against their own self-interest.
I don't know. It's too esoteric for me. The whole world looks like it's upside down since this Marxist seized power. You know, CNN had the lowest ratings. CNN, the Crescent News Network, I've called it for a few years. CNN's ratings are the lowest in 20 years. And I read the blog comments on that article. And you know what people are saying? You know what killed CNN? The Obama worship. And more particularly, the Black in America series that went on and went on and went on and went on and on and on. And guess what? Their ratings plummeted. So you say, well, there's hope. You're wrong. And here's why you're wrong. CNN is a worldwide, that is global, network. The income from the United States is only a small part of CNN's revenue stream. And so with propaganda. And the audience turns off the shows here in America. They don't care. Because the morons in the third world want to believe the propaganda that the vermin at CNN are putting out. And that's the story. That's the sad truth. And so globalism is and will become the ultimate demise of the United States of America. Everything the right wing has been warning you about globalists, globalism, the elites, sounds hackneyed, sounds pat, is 100% true. Again, no calls, nothing. No, there's a few. This keeps up. I'll let the dog bark on the air. Let's see what else is on my website. Teddy, would you like to get on the microphone right now? Maybe you could wake the audience up. Where is this? Let me go to the bottom of the website. What is this? Organic food can turn you into a jerk. That's an interesting story that came out of the Times of India. I eat organic. Maybe it's affecting me negatively. They did a study, some dumb sociological study, some dumb scientists, University of New Orleans. That's a joke unto itself. Assistant professor at the Department of Psychological Sciences at Loyola University split 60 people into three groups. And they did a study that showed that people exposed to organic foods are more likely to exhibit judgmental attitudes, meaning that those who ate organic felt that they were somehow morally superior and didn't act very nicely to other people. You hear this? They felt better about themselves, and they felt that they didn't have to do anything for anybody else. It's called moral licensing. People may feel like they've done their good deed by choosing organic, and so then they have a license to act unethically later on. It's the Prius driver, in other words. The jerks who buy Priuses think that they bought an organic car. Think of the Priuses. In their mind, that they're driving an eggplant with wheels. The morons like Larry David, let's say, double-talking frauds. Did you see that scandal, by the way? You know the woman who plays Cheryl on Curb Your Enthusiasm? That kind of like puppet face girl. Anyway, she became the main squeeze for the Kennedy family, the one who ditched the wife who hung herself. And this hag from Curb Your Enthusiasm, the Cheryl character, started to tweet how she was taking over the children and going to events and doing the red carpet with Kennedy, another prize human. Okay, from Chappaquiddick to the red carpet, it was no different. Instead of the obviously, but she did it to herself out of humiliation because the Cheryl character from Curb Your Enthusiasm, who's now dating him, was tweeting everyone about it. So the woman was humiliated. She was down on herself. She was on alcohol. She was on drugs. She was on medication. And another good friend of the global warming crowd, the Hollywood crowd, the Larry David crowd, another prize human being. What I'm getting at is they have moral license, in other words, to do anything they want because they drive a Prius or eat an organic eggplant. You get it? How it works? Still nothing. It's like the little man is asleep in the chair. There used to be a funny thing, like a review thing in the local paper years ago. I don't know if it still exists. So they review a movie, and there was a little man in a chair. So if the reviewer liked the movie, the little man would be jumping up and clapping, the cartoon. And then if he didn't like it that much, he'd be sitting in the chair looking at it. If he hated it, he'd be asleep in the chair. Today I'm getting the feeling that my audience, if I looked at the cartoons on my screen, that everyone's asleep. The little man is asleep today. That's going to be my new joke. The little man is asleep, and it's not a lewd thing I'm saying. And I say the little man is asleep. That's not a joke, okay? I mean, it's not a lewd joke. I'm not trying to, like, yank your chain there. Look at the callers I have here. Entire world is laughing at us. Give it an X job. Montana, results of Fukushima. Don't know what it is. Give it an X job. Pennsylvania, upsetting every time Obama talks to military. X it out. Alabama, South is best in voting. Now, I want you to kill those calls. I'm not taking them. Maybe my call screen is the little man in the chair. Doug, what was it, too much Kim? What's going on over there? Is this the only kind of caller you're getting? Portland, Oregon, Jules Verne on line 7. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, Michael, it's such an honor to talk to you. I am your number
one. Hold it, please. Don't say it's an honor. I'm not Sean Hannity. I did graduate college.
No, it's an honor. You have no
honor. No, it isn't. Only those who really have no honor tell you it's an honor to talk to them. But go on, please.
You are brilliant. You're always right. You're funny. You make me laugh.
Well, that's all true. You're right. The only people who don't know that is my own family. But okay, my audience is my family. My family doesn't like me. They don't like me. They don't appreciate me. It's very hard living with a talk show host. They don't like me on the phone. They say I'm not a caller. Don't hang up on me. Don't talk over me. It's impossible.
Well,
that's why I like my that's why I like my dog. He never answers back.
I go to Starbucks in downtown Portland and wear my Savage Nation hat proudly on my head.
Oh my God.
Support you fully, and I drive a Prius, so there you go.
You're doing a yin-yang on the world.
Sticker. I just got my Obama sticker to put on the back of
That's
it.
That's funny.
I hate OPEC.
So let me ask you something. How do you survive in Portland the same way I do in San Francisco, I suppose? I mean, the city is beautiful, so you ignore the liberals. Is that it?
Absolutely. I try to laugh at them. It humors me a little. But it's hard.
I want to ask you something about Starbucks. They stopped doing this, but up until recently in San Francisco, if I'd go in and ask for a small coffee, they'd say it's a tall coffee. I said, what do you mean tall? I said small. They said, we call it small, tall. I said, I don't care what you call it. I want a small coffee. And then they get really liberal and they say, well, we call it a tall. They won't let it go. Have you noticed they correct you liberals, young liberal snots out of college? They're always correcting you. Have you noticed that?
Yes, with their big gauges in their ears and their lip piercings and their tattoos.
Oh, God. Oh, right. I mean, really. Would you drink anything that they touch with all of those piercings?
I wash my hands all the time. Don't you worry.
But no, do they still do that when you ask for small, they say it's a tall?
Medium,
no, I think they stopped that.
I go there, but yes, if they correct you.
Julia, have you yet bought trickle-down tyranny?
Absolutely. I'm chapter 5. It's so hard to read, though, because you're so smart. I have to reread every chapter. I already read Trickle-Down Poverty. I have liberals, mental disorder. I love you, Michael Savage. You have no idea. You're the only thing that keeps me going. I swear to God.
Oh, God in heaven. What a burden. And I don't feel good today. I'm dizzy. I'm tired. I'm foggy. Something's wrong with me today.
And you're handsome, so don't you forget it.
Well, I am. No, I am all of those things. I have everything that any woman could want. I'm a great guy. I'm a great guy. But I'm past that point in my life. In other words, I'm not into, like, the whole thing there. But let me ask you something. Julie, you want another copy of the book for a boyfriend or something?
Oh, I'm single, but I would love another copy. I will find somebody to give it to.
Thank you. Stay on the line. Free copy of Trickle Down Zuckerberg. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We flew over the hump and we beat those evil people. Evil people. Not even allowed to call it what it was. Who did we defeat? We flew over the hump. Obama won't even say who the U.S. defeated. We rallied. We took the islands. We flew over the hump. What's the point? What's the point? Oh, let's take the callers. Lance in Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I remember your story about cleaning the bronzes in your father's store's basement there and how you were subjected to the toxicity of the cyanide and such. And I think there's got to be a political analogy there to the current administration, that it's toxic and we're in the basement slaving away. But but maybe what will happen is we'll become stronger by virtue of the exposure to the toxins.
That is very funny. If only that were true. It made me stronger, but remember, I was 9 years old. I mean, I don't know that putting up with the toxicity of the Democrats is going to make anyone stronger. This is a very dangerous poison that he's putting out. I mean, the class warfare poison that Obama's brain, Axelrod, has decided is the magic ointment, the magic potion to get reelected by turning one race against the other, one class against the other. This is a very toxic chemical that Axelrod's come up with.
We're going to have
remember what it led to in Russia. It led to hangings. It led to murder. Remember what it led.
I think we have
how anybody who works for a living, especially, and I'll say it like it is, any blue-collar white male could ever vote for this man indicates to me that they're dumber than even I think that they are. How do you like that? Joe Sixpack is the biggest moron in history. If he has not yet seen what these people are up to, Joe Sixpack deserves to be a slave. How's that? You want me to get angry now?
Oh, no, I was hoping to calm you down by thinking about those calmer times in the basement, but I guess it didn't work out.
It got me mad. Joe Sixpack is a bigger idiot than I think he is. If he would ever vote for, I don't think he deserves a better government than he has.
There you go. I knew you'd do something with the toxicity.
Okay, I'm going to calm down now. But you do remember that story from way back when?
Oh, of course. It's a fantastic.
How many years have you been listening to Michael Savage?
Over 10, Dr. Savage. I used to play you on the car radio and hit the tennis ball against a brick wall.
Well, we flew over the hump together, didn't we?
Yeah, right. Which nation was the hump in? I'm just curious.
Yeah, we flew over the hump, the Sacramento hump, in order to get up to the. You have to fly over that cesspool of Sacramento to get to the clean, pure mountains. Every time I drive to the mountains now, I look over there and I get a headache thinking of what's going on in there.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is the official theme song of the Urban Weekend in Miami Beach, Florida. Originally, Memorial Day was meant to honor our servicemen who gave us our freedoms by beating back the Nazi barbaric hordes in World War II. But today it's come to mean grotesque jewelry around your neck, rubbing your crotch, and otherwise causing disturbances. Reminder, you're listening to The Savage Nation. Now, if I'm supposed to just give you red meat to get you interested, I guess I could ask a question. Who should Romney pick to be his VP choice? Now, I'll give you three choices. Alan West, yes, he won't do it because Alan West is a true conservative. They would clash from the minute they meet. It wouldn't work. Condoleezza Rice, the biggest mistake he'd ever make would be to pick her. She is a disaster. Donald Trump would be a great choice. It would shore up his business claims, but Donald wouldn't take that job. It's too small for him. Why would Donald Trump want to be a vice president? What's he going to give up his businesses? He'd be like Joe Biden with a water gun and a Chevy Chase, wherever they live there in Maryland, in a house? Is he going to go live in an old falling apart house built in 1910 on the U.S. Naval base? Donald Trump would never take that job. Now, if he could make the vice presidential residence Mar-a-Lago, maybe he would do it. That would be something. Make it the Western vice president, the Southern vice president the Southern Vice Presidential White House. That would be nice. Think of all of the... No, that would be a good choice. If it was Romney and Trump, that would be a winning choice because the Democrats are so clueless that they're trying to take Obama's weakness, which is business. He has no business experience. Let's start with that. Obama never ran a lemonade stand. Obama sat in a university. He put up billboards. He was a community organizer and never ran a business, never created a product or a service that anybody ever needed. He admitted it himself. I remember during the campaign, he said, what do we actually do? We don't do anything but push paper. See, now that's the soundbite that Romney should get. But Romney's playing Mr. Nice Guy. Say, well, so they're taking Obama's weakness, which is no business experience, and Romney's strength, which is great business experience, and trying to turn it into a weakness. That's the best they can do. And it's not working because 50% of the Democrat leadership have revolted against this revolting tactic. It's failing. So therefore, I think he should choose a businessman as his running mate. And I think that Trump would be the perfect vice presidential candidate. Condoleezza Rice is not known for having achieved anything. What, because she played the piano and she swims? Did you think that, you know, the VP choice is very important. Very, very critical. My terrible fear is that if he picks Sarah Palin, it's a goner. It's over. Especially since she endorsed, you know who she endorsed today? Orrin Hatch. Orrin Hatch, who's running for his life because he's another rhino about to be thrown out in Utah. Listen to Sarah Palin. Listen again.
You know, friends and colleagues, we're going to differ personally on different endorsements. Take, for instance, my endorsement of Senator Orrin Hatch in Utah. I want him to win.
Take my endorsement, please. Cymbal shot. I'll say that again. Take my endorsement, please. Take my wife, please. Remember that from Henny Youngman? That's what it sounded like. Take Orrin Hatch, please. Okay, it's enough already. Don't hit it again. So why would Sarah Palin endorse a Republican rhino like this? Orrin Hatch, remember, is the man who ushered in Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the most fanatic leftist to have ever invaded the Supreme Court until Kagan and Sotomayor were inflicted upon us. But it was Orrin Hatch, Republican, who said that her background in the ACLU will not influence her judgment. So Orrin Hatch, it's time for him to retire. It's time for him to do what good men do after they retire from the Senate, whatever that may be. But he should not be reelected, in my estimation. How do you feel about Sarah Palin endorsing Orrin Hatch? Pennsylvania, Betty Ann, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I agree with you. I'm so happy that someone finally says, someone with some clout, that Palin is a $3 bill. I know from the beginning, and I didn't buy it. I have some friends that are Tea Party, you know, big supporters, and they like her, they love her. I don't. You have me laughing my head off about her. But she was paid, obviously, to me, paid to endorse Hatch.
Well, I never went for Sarah Palin. I always thought she was a shuck and jive artist, way beyond her pay scale.
I did too, but I'm so happy that someone...
And by the way, women didn't like her. And this is a very interesting phenomenon. Conservative women never really liked Sarah Palin, by and large. By and large, they were not taken in by her. She was the equivalent of Obama to the leftist base. In other words, Obama was a very shallow liberal, whichever way the wind blew, he went to get where he is. And Sarah Palin reminded many people of the same thing. Women looked right through her.
Yes, exactly. I was happy to hear that.
All right, we covered the waterfront there. Thank you. A copy of TDT goes out to you. I can't even say it anymore. Trickle down tyranny, because if I say it, you're going to get offended. So I'll say TDT. That's better than DDT, isn't it? Dribble down tyranny. Maybe my sequel should be DDT, dribble down tyranny. Trickle down tyranny. Let's say Obama gets reelected by God forbid it happens. And I do another book called Dribble Down Tyranny. No, but it wouldn't be trickle. It would be running down tyranny. It would be gushing down tyranny. It would be GDT. It would be gushing down tyranny. And so DDT won't work. It sounded good for a minute. GDT, gushing down tyranny. Sits in car to listen to the show. Savage write about Palin. TDT stolen from restaurant. How about Kaine for Vice President? Where is Herman Kaine today? Where is he? How can anyone suggest? I'm reading what people are calling about. Here's the caller, Freddie in Virginia Beach. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir, Doc Savage. I just want to say that you've always had it right. 8 years Dem, 8 years Repub. Mitt Romney is going to pick the lamest person he can find for his vice presidential nomination so that it's 8 years Dem and 8 years Repub. You've always had it right.
I think, I swear to God, I fear that. I swear I fear that. I fear it.
It's my fear, too.
I think he's going to pick Marco Rubio, you know, the genius from Florida, who for some reason they think because he has a Latino last name, a Hispanic last name, Hispanics are going to vote for him. Maybe they're right. I don't know. I think people do vote, of course, because of ethnicity and ethnic names. But, I mean, Marco Rubio, all right, it might help him a little bit, but he might pick Rubio. What do you think?
If he picks him, yeah, sure, he's going to pick up a little Hispanic vote. But let's face it, Hispanics, God bless them, they're wonderful people, hard workers, but they are not a large majority of the population. He needs to pick
No, we keep hearing Hispanic this, Hispanic that, the all-important Hispanic vote. 68% of the country is European-American. And these rats, these bums in the media, and these damn politicians keep talking about illegal aliens as though they're citizens. If you excluded the, let's take the Hispanic population in America and let's break it out. And now let's exclude the number of Hispanics who are not entitled to vote. They are here illegally. The number of Hispanics who are entitled to vote is a very small number of people, by the way, not the large percentage they would lead you to believe that everyone should now cater suddenly to Telemundo. Look, this is common sense. What can I say to you? Common sense is gone. It doesn't exist. I'm the kind of man who understood the world years ago. We don't exist anymore. And the men who can think like me are usually con men. They're usually in the banking industry. You know, no, that's the absolute truth. I'm going to tell you the absolute truth. People of my, let's say, mental level, usually went into big, big money-making ventures. They never, ever went into anything of other than making money. There's nothing wrong with that. But they're not really working for the country the way I believe I am. Many of them, when I was younger, they were given towards money-making as kids. And I that's what they were. They had financial brains. They were good at math. They were driven to succeed with money. I went my own way. I wasted 30 years wandering the earth looking to save the world with plants and the nutrition and trees. You could say, all right, so it made me the man I am today, and I wound up doing well anyway. And that's true. At the end of the day, it's not how you begin, it's how you end in life, right? It's not where you begin, it's where you end up. I mean, if you end up on a rope in a barn, that's the end. That's the end of the story, God forbid. It doesn't matter if you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth. If you end up on a rope in a barn at your own hand, that's a terrible ending, a horrible ending, right? Well, okay. So it's not how you begin, it's how it ends. So the meandering, the wandering, the poetry, the science, the art, the dreams, the idealism, most of these kids that I knew who were very smart did not go down the road I did. They didn't spend 20 years in the islands collecting plants for no money. I thought I would save the world because I had a sick brother, and there was I analyzed it years later when I gave it all up, that saving the world business, the idealism, because I was looking to cure my brother so I'd please my mother. I mean, you have to analyze yourself at a certain point and figure what motivated you. It's very much along the lines. I only came to this in the last 5 years of what motivated me to spend those years in those islands. I hated it. I never liked it. I don't romanticize the years in those horrible straw huts. I didn't enjoy it. I loved the people, but I did not like living in those villages at all. I didn't enjoy it at all. The isolation, the alienation, the sense of loneliness. I've never felt anything. I don't think I ever recovered from it. I think I left a part of myself in those huts. I don't want to go into it and start with crybaby stuff, but you know, all I'm saying to you is the kids who were smart, so-called, and driven to money-making, they usually went into finance or things of that nature. So listen very carefully. I'll be back in a minute. Wait, hold on. Before I go to break, I want you to know something. There are three types of people: those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. In tough economic times, tough people make things happen, like Jenny. And this is her income at home story. She writes, "I spent my life working in the corporate world with far too little time with my kids. Then out of the blue, I got laid off. I was looking for a job when I learned about incomeathome.com. I ordered my decision pack, got a call from my coach. In my first full month, I made $1,300. and I'm on my way to making more than I've ever made, and I do it around my family's needs. Some earn less, some earn more, and some a lot more. I want you to go to incomeathome.com to see the results you can expect. No matter your age or education, you can literally earn money from your kitchen table. So make it happen for you and your family at incomeathome.com. Did you get it? Incomeathome.com. Incomeathome.com.
Savage.
The Savage Nation. By the way, the Zimmerman Trayvon Martin case took an interesting turn today. Let's see if I can simplify it in a way that the audience can understand this. Several years ago, Zimmerman, who shot Trayvon Martin, Zimmerman was on trial for his life because of Al Sharpton. Zimmerman complained about the police department in his hometown, the very same police department that arrested him. He complained that they were covering up for an officer's son who beat up a homeless black man. He was trying to get the officer exposed and fired because the officer had beaten up a homeless black man. Tell that to Al Sharpton on MSNBC. See if that'll stop him from his twisted, lying persona. It gets me sick. Out-of-state agitators come in there, and they made this guy's life a living hell. So, yeah, you won't hear that in the media. Trayvon eyewitness, Zimmerman was on it. You see, they're changing their stories back and forth now. Three witnesses have changed their testimony. Witnesses in Trayvon Martin shooting are changing their stories. Don't call me on this. There's nothing you can say. Nothing you can say because we don't live in a sane country. If we lived in a sane country, Zimmerman would sue Al Sharpton. Zimmerman would sue Jesse Jackson. Zimmerman would sue all those people who slandered him and have given him made it impossible for him to get a fair trial. That's all. It's that simple. Is class warfare working for Obama, yes or no? Boston, Massachusetts, WRKO, Jeff. Go ahead, please. What's your opinion? Is the class warfare game that he's playing working?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. It's very simple. I
have a man who is in many ways espoused in the early years of his regime.
Yes, let me go on. It's very simple. You are going to see terrorist attacks by Muslims. That will put Obama into office. I believe they are working together.
Well, I mean, hold on. I missed that. If a terrorist attack occurs, that would help Obama? How?
Oh, yes. Because Obama will declare martial law. He will suspend the election.
Well, that's a paranoid fantasy. I mean, it could happen. We know about the camps. We know about the helicopters. We know about all of these things that keep seeping through the internet. There seems to be something here amiss, but you really think he's going to do that?
He could
do anything. Of course he could land on the moon. He could fly in a spacesuit on a Russian mission and then go to the moon, but I don't think he will. That's bad radio in a way, because until it happens, you can't talk about it. If we have martial law and I'm not on the radio, then you'll know he was right. If we don't have martial law, then you know that the caller was wrong. That's all. Let me ask you another provocative question while you're listening so intently to everything, that every breath I take. Here's DNC Chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Never trust anyone with a hyphenated last name. That's the first thing you got to know. Fraud through and through. Let me repeat it. We learned at Queens College that any Jewish person. So here's Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Democrat, Florida, attacking Romney on his business background, saying that's not a qualification for his president. So what is Obama's business background? Being a community organizer? Him and Saul Alinsky ran a garment center somewhere? What? Clip 20, listen.
I think there are times when it's appropriate to put a surrogate out there, and there are times when President Obama believes that there is no one better than the president himself to stand up and make the central case that because Mitt Romney has been repeatedly saying that his central qualification for the presidency of the United States is his record at Bain Capital, I think it's entirely appropriate for the president to make sure that voters and voters.
All right, we don't know what she's saying. Her hyphenated last name has apparently blurred her ability to even complete a sentence. What the heck is she talking about? Their whole campaign is that Romney's chief strength is his business background. That makes him weak. When in fact, all it does is point out that Obama has no business background. The first rule of business is that some businesses succeed and some fail. Debbie, Wasserman, Schultz. Some businesses make money and some lose. Understand that, Wasserman, Schultz.
Seven.
So here's another soundbite that's worth listening to. Representative Cummings, in his conversation about J.P. Morgan and the Volcker rule, I want you to listen to it, then I'll tell you why. Listen to 16.
I want to bring Jamie Dimon and the executives at J.P. Morgan who have been dismissed, and I want to understand exactly how this happened so that we can make sure that it doesn't happen again. And we also need to know
That means it's a cover up. Stop. The minute you hear a congressman saying, I want to make sure it doesn't happen again, it means that they're never going to be punished. Do you understand what I just said? Let me repeat it. Whenever you see a disaster or a con like this, and you hear a congressman, it's right out of The Godfather, well, we're going to look into this to make sure it doesn't happen again, after it's happened again. I don't know how to put it in a way you'll actually understand it. I can mince words, I can be polite about it. But at this point in my life, flap less and coast more makes more sense. I watch birds fly, you know what I mean? They just flick a feather and they just flick a feather. So that's like flicking a verb. Morgan, does that work for you? I could say it in 40 sentences if you'd like. See, a bird, he sails through the air, he catches a gust of wind. And then if the bird wants to move a certain way, they flip one or two feathers. They don't flap a whole wing. A bad person in talk radio flaps a whole wing every time they want to say something. And he wants to listen to the noise of the wind. What you want to see is a feather move. So I just moved the feather. Here's another soundbite for you. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich. The failure, Robert Reich, who went to teach at UC Berkeley. I don't know what he's done there to the students since he's been there. But Robert Reich probably thought that since he's been a lifetime wobbly leftist, he would already by this time have been called back by Obama to be a labor secretary or something along the lines of the triangle shirtwaist fire background that he came from. But no, he's still at Berkeley, stuck at Berkeley, and the Obamaites want nothing to do with Reich. So listen to clip 17.
Lame duck Congresses are not known historically to do very magnificent things. I mean, it's pretty clear that John Boehner and Harry Reid are drawing lines in the sand, mainly for bargaining advantage. The hope is that with regard to taxes and letting the Bush tax cuts maybe go on a little bit longer, particularly for the middle class, and that's what the president has wanted, and he stated very specifically, but also avoiding that sequestration, avoiding those major cuts.
Why he's teaching. The reason he's teaching is he can't make a sentence. He goes in circles. You don't know what he's talking about. I would have said it in three sentences. On and on and on. That's why he's teaching. You want to hear something interesting? I told it to my assistant today. He got a kick out of it. He's a young guy. He's 23. He was complaining about a teacher of his. So I said, look, when I was a high school teacher, he said, you were a high school teacher? I said, oh, yeah, many decades ago. I said, I taught in a private school in Manhattan for about a year. And these were like troubled kids. It wasn't like an elite private school for the really brilliant ones or the really rich ones. It was sort of a dumping ground for kids who were troubled, not emotionally screwed up in any way or poor. They weren't particularly rich. They were troubled. In other words, they were loud mouths. They talked out. They were smart kids, basically. So one kid, I don't know, he came up to me that was so smart. He changed my life, this kid. He said, you know what? He said, those who can do and those who can't teach. I was stunned by it. He says, those who can do, those who can't teach. I was stung like by a bee. And of course, what he was saying was not true in the hard sciences or in the medical sciences or the physical sciences. It's true mainly in the soft fields, social sciences, you name it. Those who can do, those who can't teach. And because of it, I decided I wasn't going to teach anymore because I wanted to do something with my life other than, you know, basically boss students around with tests. That's Labor Secretary Robert Reich. If he could do something, he'd be doing it. He wouldn't be teaching. If he really was, you know, really had something on the ball, he'd be running a hedge fund. He'd be working for Soros, maybe as a dresser. You know, he could have gotten a nice job probably dressing Soros in a nice bathing suit on the Miami beaches with the young girls. Probably would have made 10 times more than he does at Berkeley. Yes, sir, I'll bring you the bathing suit. No, sir, you want the hat. Would you like a cool drink? He could have done the thing like that. He probably would have been happier, too. Do you know why I don't like Robert Reich? Let me explain why. It's not solely that he's a communist, a lifetime socialist left-wing wobbly. When his wife, I remember things 20 years ago or so, Robert Reich, you look it up. I think she was teaching at Boston University or Brandeis, one of the two. She came up for tenure. They didn't grant a tenure because she was a rotten scholar, obviously. She sued the university saying, you're denying it because I'm a woman and a minority and a this and a that. And the university had to give her tenure. That's Mr. Fairness. That's like the Prius driver who cuts you off from the right lane and thinks he's holier than thou. You get it? See, I don't forget these things. It's the things like this that I remember that make me a great talk show host. Not that you care one way or the other. It's only radio at the end of the day. It's all it is. Have you heard the Obama campaign trying to attack Mitt Romney on the steel thing? It's sickening because Romney was not even at Bain Capital when the steel company went out of business. How could you blame Romney for a steel company going out of business when steel companies went out of business because Korea was dumping steel on the shores of America? That's why the U.S. steel company went out of business. GST Steel. Listen to clip 9, the short version.
Bain Capital was the majority owner. They were responsible. Mitt Romney was deeply involved in the influence that he exercised over these companies.
They made as much money off it as they could, and they closed it down. They filed for bankruptcy without any concern for the families or the communities.
It was like a vampire. It came in and sucked the life out of us.
It was like watching an old friend bleed to death.
All right, turn it off. In other words, what they're trying to say is that Romney's a vampire, and Romney won't do an attack ad against Obama. This is why he's going to lose. He has to run the, and then he's got to say, then run Obama covering up for Wright. Yeah, no, that's right. You want to bring up, that's right. That's what you got to do. Negative ads. You've got to show Michelle Obama traveling the globe for the last 3 years. One vacation after another in a series of video clips of her living like a Marie Antoinette, flying around the world, living high on the hog in Air Force One. That's what you got to show. But see, the Romney campaign isn't going to do it because he's being run by the McCain people. They want him to either lose or they don't know what they're doing. It is possible that they're not that smart. They're just campaign advisors. They may not be that clever. What's a campaign advisor? A failed advertising man. In other words, if a guy could actually do advertising, he wouldn't be a campaign advisor. He'd be running an ad agency. He'd be Don Draper, right? He'd be Don Draper if the guy really had brains as an ad man, he'd run an ad agency under his own name, right? Instead, he works as a campaign advisor. He makes up crappy ads attacking someone for something he didn't even do. That's what they do. And they go from one side to the other. See, I know everything. That's the problem. It's wisdom. At this point, it's just wisdom. I know everything. If I'm wrong, I'm proven wrong, and I admit it. I know enough to admit when I'm wrong, but I know most everything. And it's very hard to fool me. I can see everything for what it is. It's painful to live in a country with such dumbbells. Now, was it ever any different? I don't know. I honestly don't know if it was ever any different. I do know that with the pervasiveness of the disgusting left-wing media, the propaganda's never been this bad. But then again, when I look back, when you think about it, when I was a kid, you had three channels, two, channel two, CBS, four, NBC, five, it was like some offbeat junk station from New Jersey. I think, and then seven was like ABC. You had the three networks, then you had the public broadcast garbage, the do-gooders. But no one ever watched that. That was like they did like classical music, and people who wanted to like impress you would have it on when you came into their house. Those are people who like bought the Encyclopedia Britannica for their son to make you feel intimidated. But look at the propaganda. There was no choice. It was all the same. All the news was identical. They went to the same stories at the same time with the same breaks. So maybe the propaganda was just as bad. But were the people as dumb? No, they weren't, because there was less college then. There were fewer college graduates in my day. So people had more native intelligence that was not squeezed out of them by the dummies in the colleges. Now, I would say people were not quite as brainwashed. The media was just as biased. This is Walter Cronkite giving you as much Bolshevik garbage as I can every night. This is Tom Brokaw. You're listening to Dan Rather. Every one of them putting out the same drivel every night. This went on for 30 years. I remember the early show. I used to watch it every night after school, after homework, before come home from school, play, sit at the tray, eat the food, the steak, the French fries, the cherry vanilla ice cream. I'm still living. It's astounding. Shocking. Just shocking. The diet would have killed. If you had a lab experiment, if you were Mengele and you took children and fed them the diet I was raised on, half of them would have died by the age of 13. No, it was the opposite of the starvation diet. If you have a lab animal and you want to induce atherosclerosis as quickly as possible in the lab animal, you would have fed them what I was fed. It didn't do it. It just didn't knock me out. I didn't take vitamins at the time. Who knows? Who knows what? I mean, maybe I'm stronger than I think. Who knows? You don't really know at a certain point. I mean, I've been on multivitamin, mega doses of vitamins for 40 years now. Since I started to become a student of Linus Pauling and you and Cameron. Well, it was Pauling mainly and that group. Mega doses of vitamin C, vitamin E, various secret herbal formulas, and rivers of alcohol. Absolutely rivers of alcohol. I never drink during the day. I have never, ever, except once, I wanted to see what it would do to me. I don't drink during the day. Ask anyone who knows me. I mean, if I'm on the air, I mean, off the air, maybe. It makes me tired. I don't want it. But I've had rivers of alcohol after shows in order to get my mind. I mean, I have to calm down. How do you think? You think this is easy to do after the show? What do you think you got to do? Yeah, I'm going to run now with a pulse with the clock on my hand. I don't do that. I think it's very bad for a person when they're stressed to run, incidentally. I think it's the worst thing you could possibly do to yourself. You know that when you're very tired, you shouldn't run, you shouldn't push yourself? It's the opposite of what you're told. Why do you think so many men are having heart attacks in their 50s? I don't want to scare you. It's true. They think, oh, I don't feel good. I'm stressed out. I had a bad day at work. I think I'll run across the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, there's a catastrophic, heroic heart attack. Jim Fex. Remember Jim Fex in the 70s, the runner? The very, very famous long-distance runner. Okay. Massive coronary on a road in Vermont on one summer. He was a guy who said, diet doesn't matter, vitamins don't matter, all you need is exercise. Thin, lean heart attack. Died in his 50s. Because it's a stress. The human condition, in the history of humanity, in the history of human beings, no man in his 50s was ever made to run like this unless he was being pursued by an enemy. I mean, then he ran out of the village if he didn't have a weapon to defend himself. He ran like that. But the human being is not made to run at that age. I don't mean supposed to sit in the Barca lounger with a clicker, although it's not such a bad idea. You know, moderate, everything, a little moderation in your exercise. Why must you run like a lunatic? And then look at the damage to the knees, the hips, the joints. Ask any doctor. Any lifetime runner, any one of them, the knees are gone, the hips are gone by 45, 50. I am a bicyclist. I mean, I've bicycled since I'm a child. I don't do as much as I should lately, but I'm talking a mile or two a day in a fairly moderate incline. Moderation, same thing. Why do you push your body? I don't understand it. It's like extreme diet, same thing with extreme exercise. Same thing with Obama and extreme left-wingism. See, Obama is an extremist leftist, meaning a Marxist. He is not a moderate liberal. He's an extremist liberal. In that sense, he's going to take the country over a cliff. The man inherits a $1 trillion deficit, and he makes it a $4 trillion deficit, and he says that that's fiscal sanity. Nobody on earth could understand this except a lunatic who's never, ever run a lemonade stand. See, now Romney could do that. I mean, this is what he should be doing. When Obama took power, there was a $1 trillion deficit. And now there's a $4 trillion deficit. The man doesn't know the first thing about business. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve of this ad. You'll never see it. You will never, ever see one ad that shows you who Obama really is. That's why I say I started the show with that speech he gave at the Air Force Academy today. When we play that speech right now, we're running short of time. I want them to hear it again. Many have just tuned in.
After Pearl Harbor, some said the United States has been reduced to a third-rate power. Well, we rallied.
We?
We flew over the hump and took island after island. We stormed
the beaches. Wait, what do you mean we flew over the hump? Who, you and Bonnie Frank personally? You and Axelrod flew over the hump? You put fixed bayonets with Bonnie in a foxhole, and you took the islands? Have you ever heard anything like this? It would be laughable if people were not so gullible. The proper speech would have said, it was men like you who took the islands. It was your antecedents at the Air Force Academy who flew over the hump. He thinks he flew over the hump. The man is impossible. I can't take any more of it. It's impossible to listen to this anymore. He is an example of extremism at its worst. It's shallow extremism. You get it? You ought to. Otherwise, you're going to get more of it. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right, look, it is what it is. Flap less, coast more. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. David in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please, David. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Savage. How are you? I just wanted to tell you a quick story about something that happened to me tonight. I was driving around in New York City, and I was being pulled over. I wasn't wearing my seatbelt, and obviously for some reason the cops feel like it's their obligation to make sure that everyone's wearing a seatbelt.
Oh, sure. But that's a bigger crime than the occupiers trashing restaurants and beating up police horses. So that's very brave of him. He pulled you over, and then what happened?
Yeah, so I figure, you know, after, you know, the cop invading the privacy of me being in the car, as he asked me for my license and my registration and my insurance cards and everything, he was standing outside the car, and I guess I didn't turn the radio down as much as I should have, and he overheard me listening to your show. It happened tonight. It was less than an hour ago. And we ended up getting into a whole discussion. You were just in the middle of talking to something. You mentioned the term unions, or a caller of yours mentioned unions. And we got So wait.
What's the end result? You got a ticket, or he gave you a double ticket, or
no ticket? I got the ticket, but we just got into a whole discussion. Now he doesn't really agree with the union bosses, and he doesn't necessarily have the same political proclivities as they may have.
Yeah, right. But he had to make some tickets for Bloomberg to build up the pension fund. He had to write some tickets. Instead of arresting drug dealers and rapists, he's arresting you because you're no challenge to him. It's sickening. It makes me sick. I'm sick of this hero garbage. Everyone in the uniform's no hero belt problem. You know, don't give me the union thing. I mean, the pension. They're all heroes. Everyone's a hero. A gun and a badge. Don't give me that garbage. Look into how many of them are taking these deadbeat pensions in the last year. Ooh, I hurt my back getting a perp. I went after a perp. Ooh, I twisted. 110% of your last year's pay with no taxation. The LIRR pensions, look into the NYPD pensions. Look into the FDNY pensions. Look into every fireman's pension, every cop's pension. And the reason I'm focusing on this is because they're supposed to be better than the average. They're not supposed to be like everyone else. But when they see such corruption at the top and they see such criminality from the top down, you can't blame them. That's the problem. I mean, the pensions themselves are very generous. Why did they have to game the system and do a fake disability with corrupt doctors the way the LIRR did it? Why? Because the unions have encouraged them to do it. Because they get some graft off the top, vigorous. A piece of it goes right into the union. It's awful, the whole thing. It's awful. I think we need much more. We need many, many, many more exposures of Obama, more negative ads. Boston, Massachusetts, we got 40 seconds. John, fire away from RKO. Go ahead.
Michael, how are you?
Go ahead. You're on the air. 37 seconds.
Michael,
34 seconds, 33 seconds.
Michael, the reason they laugh at you when you call them a Marxist is because they're all Marxist.
Is because what, John?
Is because they are all Marxist.
Absolutely. Yes, you're right about that. I'm sending you Trickle-Down Tyranny where you can see in black and white the proof that Obama is clearly, has always been, will always be a radical left-winger out of touch with the average American. You call it a Marxist. You can call it anything you want. And we're not talking about Groucho.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You have to listen to some of this audio, including this rubbish from Debbie Wasserman Schultz, some nobody from Florida, a hack, a Democrat communist hack, in my opinion, having the nerve, the gall, the audacity to say that Mitt Romney's business background does not qualify him to be president. That's astounding.
I think there are times when you, when it's appropriate to put a surrogate out there, and it's, there are times when President Obama believes that there is no one better than the president himself to stand up and make the central case that because Mitt Romney has been repeatedly saying that his central qualification for the presidency of the United States is his record at Bain Capital, I think it's entirely appropriate for the president to make sure that voters and voters in this country understand that that is not a qualification for president. And if he's representing that it is, then a close examination and close scrutiny of that record is entirely appropriate.
Now listen to Vice President Joe Biden saying that the Tea Party is a group set on obstructionism. You know, this is the big lie.
I'm not criticizing private equity firms, but I'm suggesting that people who run them, the same quality and objective of running a private equity firm is not what qualifies you to be president. When you're president, your job is to see to it that companies can make a profit, but not maximize profit at everyone's expense. Your job as president is to promote the common good. That doesn't mean the private equity guys are bad guys. They're not. But that no more qualifies you to be president than being a plumber. Imagine where we'd be if the Tea Party hadn't taken control of the House of Representatives. A group, they're honorable people, but a group set on obstructionism. They have one overwhelming goal, prevent Barack Obama from a second term, with apparently no care of the consequences to the economy.
Now listen to Sarah Palin endorsing liberal Republican Senator Orrin Hatch. I've always told you to watch out for Sarah Palin. She was nothing but a party girl. That is a Republican party girl.
You know, friends and colleagues, we're going to differ personally on different endorsements. Take, for instance, my endorsement of Senator Orrin Hatch in Utah. I want him to win. He's part of that 1% you hear about, not the 1% that's mocked and criticized in the press lately, but the 1% of national politicians whom I believe should be reelected, sent to Congress because of his commitment to see a balanced budget in the United States of America.
Here are some of the stories that have made it to MichaelSavage.com. Did Obama have lower SAT scores than George W. Bush? Someone researched it and thinks that may be so. We don't really know because Obama will not release his records. The attacks on Bain Capital have split the Democrat Party, and they're exposing Obama's stupidity, incompetence, and class warfare. In fact, half the Democrat Party has come to the defense of Romney because of the demonization of capitalism. It's making a lot of rich Democrats uncomfortable. It's unbelievable to me. The fact of the matter is the original Bain attack ad was very, very weak. Easily rebutted. Why? Because Romney was not at the steel company at the time of the layoffs depicted in the fraudulent ad. Not only that, but Democrats, including Obama loyalists like his former car czar, see the Obama reelection plan of class warfare as a threat to the party as a whole. Well, of course it is. Of course it is. He's torn the party apart, but no one will tell you that. The man is an out-of-control maniac, in plain English. But he's not the only maniac. Governor Jerry Brown, maniac too. He's threatening the state of California that he'll close the schools for a month a year unless there's tax increases without releasing the real information that most of the money is going to go for union pensions. He's just using the same tactics that Jerry Brown has used since he was known as Moonbeam. Nothing on cutting pensions, nothing on layoffs of government workers, nothing on pay reform, nothing on granting money, nothing on cutting back these grotesque amounts spent on illegal aliens. Once again, Jerry Brown is using the usual scare tactics. You see, a lot of people don't realize that the federal government mandates that the states provide certain services to illegal non-citizens, and they don't give us funding to do so. A free public education to all K-12 students, regardless of legal status, is one such mandate. It's a fact. Another maniac is the billionaire Mayor Bloomberg of New York, who actually has a plan which says that the federal government should force cities to take in immigrants as the only hope for salvaging their battered economies. This is astounding, because I've done the research. Apparently, this out-of-touch billionaire doesn't understand that not all immigrants come here to work. A goodly portion of them come here for the welfare dummy. This is unbelievable to me. What else is on MichaelSavage.com? Well, let's go there and see. Did CNN's ratings collapse because of his Obama worship, because of the Obama worship and the Black in America series? A lot of people are saying so. Was Obama an early Tea Partier? Take a look at my website. You'll see him in a Tea Party costume way back when. 40% of Democrat primary voters are opting for not Obama. They hate him. Curbing unions saved Wisconsin $1 billion. You hear this? The unions are criminal gangs stealing from the actual public taxpayer. Thank you, Hillary Clinton. Thank you, George Soros. Thank you, the established Republicrats. In Egypt, Christians are fearing the election will bring Islamic law and the death of Christians throughout the nation of Egypt. When will this insanity stop? Is Pakistan our friend or our enemy? The Pakistani who helped get bin Laden, the doctor, was sentenced to 30 years in prison for conspiring against the state. So that proves that the state is bin Laden. Therefore, the state is a terrorist state. China fake parts are used in U.S. military equipment. Why Barack Obama got married. Savage witnesses departure of last U.S. battleship taken last Sunday. If you haven't seen the pictures, they're beautiful. On the bottom of MichaelSavage.com, feds offer amnesty to hundreds of pension scammers, Long Island Railroad. Remember Donna Shalala? Remember Donna Shalala, Bill Clinton's attack dog? She's now the dean of the University of Medical School, making over $1 million a year. To save money, she's firing the real doctors. Did liberal TV star's tweet push Kennedy to hang herself? Yeah, another liberal. Woman attacked by blacks ordering lunch at McDonald's. They beat her up. She was white, by the way. Not a hate crime. It was a food crime. Was Savage right? Is Obama using the military as a pawn? Well, re-trickle-down tyranny, soldiers. You'll find out what's really going on. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation.
Wait, hang on before I go.
I read an article on how the economy has affected consumers and that customer service and return policies are really now the main reasons people choose to do business with a company. Case in point, it's time to replace the blinds, shades, or shutters in your home. You take your measurements, you head off to the big home improvement store. Sure, they take your order. But when your window coverings arrive, you find out they don't fit because the schmuck from the plumbing department gave you bad advice. You trudge back and they tell you, sorry, no returns on custom orders. Not at blinds.com. Not at blinds.com. See, even if you mismeasure, which almost never happens, they'll remake it for free. Who does that? There are also over 100 real experts in-house happy to assist. Get free color samples, free shipping, and no sales tax in most states. Plus, expert installers if you need one. That's blinds.com, where their prices absolutely crush home improvement store prices. Blinds.com, I've used them for blinds. I love them, Blinds.com. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
And highways, the Hoover Dam, and the Golden Gate Bridge. We touched the surface of the moon, unlocked the mystery of the atom. That's the true lesson of our past, Ohio. That's the right vision for our future. And that's why I'm running for president.
Mes chers concitoyens,
my dear citizens, fellow citizens, French people, the 6th of May, have just chosen change by bringing me the presidency of the French Republic.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. If you've just joined us, I'm enjoying myself. I hope you are. I can't believe Obama saying, we built railroads, we built highways, we built the Hoover Dam. When you're blowing dope? At Columbia University, you built the Hoover Dam. You touched the moon. You just killed NASA. What a liar this guy is. What a fraud. Vive la France. What else is new under the sun? We built railroads. This is the most anti-business president in American history. Anti-railroad, anti-highway, anti-Hoover Dam, anti-NASA. And the man is taking credit for having built the Hoover Dam and having built the railroads, the highways, and the moon, and unlock the mystery of the atom. The man is anti-nuke, anti-NASA, anti-dams, anti-highways, anti-pipelines, anti-railroads. Are the people of Ohio that stupid? Amazing to me. So welcome back to the program. I've also asked you what you've experienced in buying my bestseller, Trickle Down Tyranny, another blockbuster. And look, of course I'm proud of the book. If it was a dud, meaning if I had said things in it that I was embarrassed, you wouldn't be hearing about it. But I warned you, on the back of this book, which was written a long time ago, I told you what was coming. I said he uses the military as a pawn. Was I right or wrong? I said that our worst enemies are praised, but our allies are stiff. Was I right or wrong? I told you, under Obama, poverty is rewarded, while successful people are attacked. Was I right or wrong? This is the single book you need to understand not only what's going on, but maybe to make the fateful choice for America that will protect this country. Because God forbid this man wins again. Because with what's going on in France, I think that the anti-austerity rhetoric that you're hearing in America coming from the demon cats certainly is resonating amongst the 50 or so percent who pay no federal taxes. Of course they don't want austerity. Do you think they want their bennies cut? I mean, if you were a deadbeat, let's say, and you weren't working in this country, or you are working and keeping almost all of your money because somehow you're not paying taxes, or you're on a big fat pension, do you know how much money Social Security pays? You think people are impoverished. You're wrong. If I ever disclosed to you all of these criers about, Social Security doesn't pay enough, you have any idea what a retired couple gets out of Social Security? Your hair would stand up if you looked at it. It's actually one of the most generous pensions in the federal pensions I've ever seen in my life, Social Security. You can live real well. That's why the gambling casinos are full with all of the people with the diabetes arms, with the hostess cupcakes in the left hand and the gambler pulling the with the eye and the arm and the flesh hanging from the right arm and the cigarette hanging out with the cups throwing in and they're just putting the Social Security money into the machines. The born Obama voter, you think they want to cut their bennies? Are you crazy? And do you think the gambling casino owners want the bennies to be cut so the little old fat ladies who feed the one-armed bandits don't come to Las Vegas or to Atlantic City anymore? What, are you crazy? Don't you see it's all one giant ball of wax, how it all works? And that's why I say you got to take up something like either knitting or surfing to get through the to get through the future. So now this opens us up to the callers, the wonderful callers of the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255, Vive la France! Vive la France! Here's a guy who never worked a day in his life, a lifetime left-wing professor, politician, anti-business his whole life, anti-finance his whole life, and suddenly all of the non-workers in France, all of the grifters in France, elect this, I don't even know how to characterize this guy, Hollande, but you know what's coming. There's going to be an exodus like when Hitler occupied France of the productive. There's going to be an exodus out of France along the lines of what happened when the Germans took over France. Only now, instead of the Nazis taking over France, it's the communists taking over France. And the working middle class is going to flee because they're going to be taxed out of the country otherwise. Where are they going to move? I would say welcome to the United States of America, but I don't know if we need any more French. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, I think we have quite enough French people in the country with all of their, God bless them all. But, you know, the greatness of Napoleon has been over for over 100 years now. I think it's 150 years, isn't it, since the last Napoleon? The third Napoleon, the third Beowulf, isn't it about 150 years if my math is quick? Right. About 150 years, and the French are running on the fumes of the Napoleonic era. That's the where do you think they get their arrogance from? Hey, I'm French. I'm superior culture, superior this, superior this. What makes them so superior? They're actually reflecting on the grandiosity of the Hitler of French history, which is Napoleon. Did you know that Napoleon was the Hitler of his time? Oh, he didn't have death camps, and he wasn't a racist, but he was the Hitler of his time. A maniac. A maniac invader of other countries. All right, whatever. It's too much history. You don't want to hear anymore. I worked it in the middle of surfing. So anyway, I'm sitting here with my toys. I have the 1962 Volkswagen bus with the peace sign on it, love, peace. I'm getting ready for the Obama victory parade, surfboard on the roof. Then I went and bought another one, a blue version with a peace sign on it, love and peace, with a blue surfboard on it. Then I got a 1955 Chevy Nomad, a blue one, a toy in the Rite Aid with a surfboard on it. I figure, you know, I'll have a few things that they won't confiscate. So I figure after Obama wins the second term, they'll take away all of my prized possessions, my paintings, the bronzes I've had since I was a poor child, the cars I've worked for. They might let me keep my plastic $5 toys from Rite Aid after Obama wins again. That might be something that's excluded by the bureaucrats. Plastic toys made in China are not to be confiscated by the new Obama regime. You think it's like I'm laughing here, like gallows humor. You have no idea what's coming to this world if this individual, this wonderful president of ours, should somehow fool you again. Fool me once, fool me twice. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Insurance has become the predominant means of paying for health care in this country. For most Americans, for more than 80% of Americans, the insurance system does provide effective access. But for more than 40 million Americans who do not have access to health insurance, either through their employer or through government programs such as Medicare or Medicaid, the system does not work. Those individuals must resort to the individual market, and that market does not provide affordable health insurance. It does not do so because multi-billion dollar subsidies that are available for the employer market are not available in the individual market. It does not do so because ERISA and HIPAA regulations that preclude discrimination against people based on their medical history do not apply in the individual market. That is an economic problem, and it begets another economic
problem. Why aren't those problems that the federal government can address directly?
They can address it directly, Justice Scalia, and they are addressing it directly through this act by regulating the means by which health care is purchased. That is the way this act works.
Religious freedom is a fundamental freedom in America. But right now, under Obama the Marxist, it's at great risk. I told you about this in trickle-down tyranny. And a recent poll shows that 3 out of every 4 Americans believe that religious freedom should be protected, even if it conflicts with other laws. Of course that's true. Joining us right now, talk about this is National Vice President for the Knights of Columbus, Andrew Walther. Andrew, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you.
We all knew that Americans, for the most part, supported religious freedom in this nation. But were you surprised by what this poll showed?
I think that it's very interesting that the American people are so passionate in their desire to protect religious liberty. I think what we have here is a very clear indication that the American people understand that the First Amendment is first for a reason, that the religious liberty protection within the First Amendment is absolutely critical to our way of life as Americans, and that even though we live long after the Bill of Rights was introduced and ratified, that we still have a very basic understanding, a very constitutional understanding as Americans of the importance of the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment in particular.
What can you tell my audience about the Catholic bishops suing the federal government over the Health and Human Services mandate?
Well, I think with the HHS mandate, and now you have a large number of Catholic organizations suing to protect their First Amendment rights in this matter, you have a situation where the mandate is unconstitutional. Many have argued that it's actually illegal because of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and it's also unpopular. The American people are not behind this sort of elimination of First Amendment rights.
Do you think Obama and his administration are against religious freedom in America, as I do and as I've written about?
I think that America has had debates over religious liberty in the past. I don't think that there has been, at least in our lifetime, and certainly our CEO, Carl Anderson, has made this point on numerous occasions. I don't think that there has been this sort of threat to religious liberty in a long time. I wouldn't want to judge anybody's intentions, but certainly the effect of what is going on is very much an elimination of constitutional rights to religious liberty, constitutional rights to conscience that are protected by the First Amendment. So regardless of what the motivation here is, the effect is very clearly a chilling of the First Amendment.
How critical is the Supreme Court decision on Obamacare with regards to religious freedom?
Well, the Supreme Court will decide whether some or all of the health care legislation is constitutional or not. If the Supreme Court decides that the entire piece of legislation is unconstitutional, then obviously that would eliminate the mandate with it. If, however, the Supreme Court decides something less than that, if the Supreme Court decides just to tackle one piece or several pieces of the legislation and not do away with it entirely, you have a situation where this threat to religious liberty could remain. Now, the Supreme Court has dealt with religious liberty in the past 12 months. There was the case Hosanna Tabor versus the EEOC, where the government made the argument that someone that the Lutheran Church said was a minister should not be considered a minister, and went so far as to say that a minister should only be someone who does exclusively ministerial functions, who does exclusively things related to ministry, which prompted Chief Justice John Roberts to wonder if the Pope could meet that definition, and also prompted the 9-0 Supreme Court decision upholding the ministerial exemption to point out that they weren't sure whether such a person could even be found that would exist. They weren't sure that you could find a person who would fit that definition of ministerial exemption. So I think we have a case where if the Supreme Court decides to eliminate all of the healthcare legislation, obviously this issue in this particular case becomes a moot point. However, if the Supreme Court decides anything less than that or decides only on a few particular issues, undoubtedly this case will continue, and the litigation and the various attempts to overturn this and to protect the First Amendment will continue.
All right. So on the other side, do you think a President Romney would be more in favor of true religious freedom in America?
I think that we have an unprecedented assault on religious freedom right now in our lifetime with the HHS mandate, things like the Hosanna Tabor case and so on. I think it would be in everyone's best interest for the HHS mandate to be rescinded. And I think that the rescinding of that mandate would be the legal thing to do, the constitutional thing to do, and frankly, the popular thing to do. There's absolutely no reason to keep this line of argument, the HHS mandate, going when it really has nothing going for it.
Andrew Walter, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Michael, it was great to talk to you. Thank you very much and look forward to talking to you again.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
I think there are times when it's appropriate to put a surrogate out there, and that there are times when President Obama believes that there is no one better than the president himself to stand up and make the central case that because Mitt Romney has been repeatedly saying that his central qualification for the presidency of the United States is his record at Bain Capital, I think it's entirely appropriate for the president to make sure that voters and voters in this country understand that that is not a qualification for president. And if he's representing that it is, then a close examination and close scrutiny of that record is entirely appropriate.
New York, Cameron, WOR calls. Thanks for the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, Doc. It's such an encouragement to know the hell that you went through after that first night of broadcasting on that left-wing station, taking over for the racist and giving a conservative line, because, you know, we who listen to your show and call your show also call others. And we're subjected to the same attacks. In other words, the liberalism has become a stronger virus. And
well, that's right, because their leader is in power, and they feel that they're invincible, and they do not tolerate dissent. See, the conservative invites liberals to call, but they won't call. The liberal doesn't even want to hear from the conservative. Cameron, thank you for the call. Miami, Florida. Leon, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, a little bit of nostalgia listening to you when you're on the call letter deficient station.
Yeah, ha, ha. So you used to hear me when? On Sunday nights on that old station, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been in the Bay Area for 30 years, and years ago, I remember driving through Sacramento Valley and listening to a certain somebody before he was syndicated. And when I first heard you, I knew you'd be syndicated. I knew you'd go national.
Well, Leon, what are you doing in Miami? You went down there for the buffets or what?
Oh, well, actually, I like to go to Boca once in a while.
Oh, so you're just visiting. You haven't moved there for the early birds.
No, not at all. Actually, I live in Southwest Florida, but I pick you up out of Miami.
Right. I'm on WFTL in Fort Lauderdale, but it is heard in Miami. I know that. Yep. Leon, a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny flies off to you to the Southlands. Now, I thought he had moved there, you know, for the early birds, which start around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. For $1.99, you get a steak, a fry. They get to steal the sweet and low in the jacket pocket. They don't even put sweet and low out in Miami. The entire Miami area, you can't find the sweet and low. The salt shakers, the salt, the pepper, the ketchup packets, the sweet and low is gone. Nothing is left on the table. It's like locusts. There's a poor Chinese guy opened up. He had no idea what he was doing. He knows everywhere else in America, if you open all you can eat, you can make a buck. You can eke out a living. Okay? It's marginal. They opened one in the Delray Beach area. The poor Chinese guy went out in 3 months. They ate up the tablecloths. There was nothing left. They came in there. They ate three meals. They would come in the middle of the day with raincoats with special internal pockets made of like rubberized material where they could stuff dim sum in one pocket, a shrimp thing in the other, a spare rib down their leg. I never saw anything like it. They'd walk out weighing 25 pounds heavier than when they came in. The guy went out of business in 2 months. No, you don't want to open an all-you-can-eat buffet in the Boca Raton area. No, sir. No one gave it to me. I had to struggle for it, as I have to struggle every day, as a fish has to struggle upstream, as the pelicans I watch on San Francisco Bay have to hunt for their food every morning, as the seals have to hunt for their food every morning, as the seagulls have to hunt for their food every day. It seems everybody understands this except the 50% of Americans who don't pay any taxes and want a nice, easy, free ride on your behind. You know, they want to break free of all the rules of nature and have you work for them, and then they have a commander-in-chief who tells you that if you make money, you're no good. That the bum who doesn't pay a dime, he's the good one. And that you owe him more. You hear? That's the world we're living in today. But let's not get too excited. Don't let me get too excited. I don't want to blow a fuse, let alone a cerebral artery. I haven't changed politically at all. And other people say, is that an act? Is he faking it? Is he really a liberal? No, it's not an act. In fact, what you hear on the radio is the tip of the iceberg of what I really believe. I'm far more right-wing than what people hear on the radio, incidentally, Mike.
Well, one would assume that, but you never know.
Well, right. You don't have to know it either. All you have to do is listen and learn and have your opinions. Free copy of TDT goes out to you. We're now reducing it to TDT. Instead of DDT, it's TDT. Maybe you can exterminate the virus that's the mosquitoes that have infested the swamp. Hey, maybe that's the way to sell the book. I got a new one. Instead of DDT, use TDT to exterminate the mosquitoes in the swamp. Oh, here comes the Secret Service. I'm sorry. God, but I'm sorry, they're busy with hookers and ex-rock and rollers right now. I don't know. Speaking of, would you see the pictures now that the LA Times put up showing some of our brave men of the 82nd Airborne holding up dead suicide bombers, along with Afghan soldiers, by the way. They didn't tell you that. The vermin in the media. Here, U.S. troops pose with body parts of Afghan bombers. But if you read the story, the next picture shows soldiers from the Army's 82nd Airborne, along with Afghan police, posing with the mangled corpse of a suicide bomber. But they didn't want you to know that they were with the Afghan police. They tried to see if they can stir up any more hatred against the bravest and most noble members of our society. That rat in the LA Times should be arrested. As far as I'm concerned, the editor of the LA Times should be thrown into prison for sedition. And I'm basing this upon certain laws, by the way. He shouldn't have done that. Even the military asked him not to publish these pictures at this time. But the media, LA Times, launched a brazen attack against our soldiers in the field of battle. First, they released video of Marines urinating on dead bodies of terrorists that they had killed. And now the LA Times, that paragon of low-life journalism, has released photos of troops in Afghanistan posing with dead bodies of the enemy. Even the high-flying Pentagon chief, Leon Panetta, and Obama asked the LA Times not to publish the pictures because it would endanger the lives of our troops. But the vermin in the LA Times decided to go ahead and publish these pictures anyway. Now, earlier this year, I defended the Marines who were attacked in the same way. I published an op-ed in the USA Today. I did the whole thing on that one then. But you see, you don't understand what these men are living through. And the fact of the matter is, far worse was done to our men than carrying around the corpses of dead terrorists who blew themselves up. You know, the United States government once had bodies called censorship boards. They had standards for media outlets to follow to protect the lives of the troops. And now the media once followed those standards, by the way. Now the standards are, how can we make the troops look bad? Or how can we put the troops in the most danger? Because now that this story is out, it will be used to recruit more terrorists to kill more U.S. troops. The troops in these pictures are not the aggressors. The troops in these pictures are the victims. Victims of a media poisoned by 50 years of liberalism. Shame on you, LA Times. You should be imprisoned for sedition. We're having a little trip down memory lane with a little news thrown in here and there. You know, there's a lot going on in the news and there's a lot not going on. Obviously, they're covering up the $5 trillion man in the White House by talking about the $800,000 conference in Vegas and making a big hullabaloo over that. And no doubt the LA Times published those photos in order to cover up all the scandals of the Obama administration that have been buried. All of them. Buried every day with something new. And there's one scandal after another. Canada, Robert, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. It's nice to speak with you. Well, look, to answer your question about whether or not you've changed, well, look, I'm only 29, so your intro into radio was far before my time. But when I go back in the time machine with you and listen to that little clip from your intro into radio, obviously we can feel it's the original Michael Savage, but I think at the risk of stroking your ego, you're like a wine and you've gotten much better with age. You're just getting better and better as time goes on. And, you know, I don't know how many folks up here in Canada appreciate you because we're pretty left-wing up here, But, you know, I always like your show. I really enjoy a radio show.
Thank you very much. Do you listen on the internet?
Of course. Yes, I do.
That's interesting. Where in Canada do you listen?
I live in Ottawa. It's the capital. It's very left-wing here because, as you can imagine, we've got all the government workers here. I mean,
oh, yeah. No, you're in Toronto?
No, Ottawa. Ottawa, Ontario.
Oh, Ottawa. Well, look, my mother was Canadian, and I've always had a fondness for Canadian people. I've always enjoyed visiting Canada. Every time I've gone there, I felt a certain something. That was then, though. I know Canada has shifted to the left, had shifted to the left, but you have a conservative government now, don't you?
Yeah, okay. You say conservative. In the context of the Canadian political landscape, that's true.
I understand. In other words, the left wing has been in charge for so long that when you get a moderate left-winger, it looks like he's a conservative compared to the communists going all the way back to Trudeau.
It's different.
Yep. I'm sending you trickle-down tyranny. I hope it doesn't cost too much to send it over the border. I know that the Quebecois are another country over there. They won't speak English. They speak French. And then there's the English-speaking Canada. But look at the different welfare rates. I know that's an embarrassment, but you're not allowed to talk about that. Take a look at the difference in government subsidies and welfare recipients in Canada between the two groups, and you'll come to your own conclusion, you know. I mean, someone's got to pay for frog's legs. It's got to come from somewhere, doesn't it? Let's take the callers, okay? You ready for this? Jacob, Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Do you think the Republican Party is attracted to a weaker candidate or a weaker man, somebody that doesn't hunt or fish or... maybe, you know, shoot guns.
I don't know what. It's an interesting question, which is why we put you up. It's an intriguing concept. What do you mean? They're actually afraid of, like, the... Barry Goldwater was the last real conservative Republican. He was a Westerner. He flew an airplane. He was a hunter, a fisherman, right? Real Arizonan.
Yeah, a man's man.
In other words, he was a man's man without laying in a... It wasn't from Brokeback Mountain, let's put it that way. See, there's a difference between criticizing a candidate, as I do, in an attempt to goad him into taking stronger positions, and attacking the man simply to run him down. That's a very important difference. I tried to say that during the Bush years. Okay, if you name it, you gain it. What's the title of the book?
Trickle Down Tyranny.
Okay. You even got me to laugh with that.
Savage.